Let's see if you could turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. And when you find your place, stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're physically able to. And we're going to read verses 3 down to verse 7. I'll just read if you'll follow along. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Oh, read verse 8 as well. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you that you have not left us without a witness. We're not here on earth wondering if there is a God, and if so, what he wants of us. Lord, you've left us many witnesses, one of them being your word. Lord, we thank you that you have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have everything we need. We're thankful for that. Lord, we pray that we would neither be barren nor unfruitful, but that we would bear much fruit as believers. Open up our eyes to your word now. Today we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we looked last week at patience and looked at a definition of patience: cheerful endurance, constancy, enduring, continuance. Mentioned how it comes from that Latin word patentia, to suffer. And we don't like to suffer normally, do we? We throw up our hands. Why me? No, just like, not that he obviously was not a godly man, but Napoleon said, he's got people in his army that will die for France, but very few that want to suffer for France. You know, they were willing to, the bravado and the glory of it, of dying, but to suffer, they did not want to suffer. Read some definitions from Webster's: the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with calm, unruffled temper. Oh, that's sometimes hard, isn't it? Unruffled temper. And that takes doing, doesn't it? It takes a while. For the first while, it's ruffled on the inside, or maybe it's even ruffled on the outside. It gets to be less and less on the outside. Still some maybe on the inside, and then as time wears away, even on the inside, we start to be able to go, it's okay, I can let this go, whatever the case might be. You know, broken down the side of the highway, I'm not going to panic, I'm not, you know, whatever, right, whatever the toil is, flood in the basement, an unruffled temper. And you know, when it comes to interactions with people, sometimes we think, oh, well, as long as I bottle it up inside, that's okay. You know what? People can tell. And so it's not just a matter of masking it. It's a matter of just saying, okay, Lord, help me. I need your help, right? We looked at some synonyms to patience: tolerance, restraint, self-restraint, calmness, composure, serenity, tranquility. You're saying, oh, tranquility, that's getting a little much. Submitting cheerfully to the will of God in one's life despite trials, tribulations, and persecution. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, please. As you know, believers are to mimic our life and imitate our life after, pattern our life after Jesus Christ. So we look unto the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Oh, don't you hate that? A sin which doth so easily beset us. Don't you hate it when you're walking along and doing some yard work and you get your foot caught in a string or an extension cord and you just can't seem to be rid of it? The sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience. You say patience. Why patience? Remember, it's because patience so often is linked to endurance. To keep going, keep going. You know, when people, when they train for different events, they train not to just go flat out until they drop. They train to be able to keep a steady pace, and of course many try to have something in reserve for the very end when they can just go. That's not me. I'm not an athlete, but just speaking about those that do train, that there's endurance. So, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a race. We have a battle. And races are, on most people's standards, are not fun. I mean, there are some that do, they've done it over and over and over. Their body has adjusted to it. And they can run like the wind. But on the whole, you know, you build up lactic acid in your body, and it's painful, right? You have that anaerobic and aerobic metabolism going on. So remember that the Christian race isn't always easy. So remember, it is a race, and when we think about it from the perspective of a race, there is pain involved. So let's run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Remember, when people are running a race, they either have the finish line ahead of them, or if they're running laps, or the finish line is, you know, way off in the distance, sometimes they'll kind of just imagine it, and they've got it in their mind's eye. You know, when I used to jog with my father-in-law, I hate jogging, but anyway, it's what I had to do to get my wife. That's what he says. But I still do it every now and again with him. But, you know, we'd jog, and it was always, okay, let's make that next telephone pole. Okay, I've got a little bit more in me. Let's make the next telephone pole, right? So you always, the race, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he was looking at the joy. Us, the bride. I mean, So it's hard to imagine the God of this universe, a member of the Godhead, the creator of this world, looking at us, sinners, and considering us the joy that was set before him. But as we consider for ourselves endurance, we're told here in verse 3, So if you become wearied in your mind, consider him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It all starts in the mind, doesn't it? You can lose a race, you can lose a war, you can lose a fight, all in the mind. You know, I've told before about how, you know, I delivered a baby in the ambulance years ago, and the lady, she asked me, she says, "Do you think my husband's going to make it?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, maybe. Where's he coming from?" And she told me, "It's from Athabasca." I said, "No, he won't make it. I'm sorry, he's not going to make it." And right away, we had the baby. 5 minutes later, her mind. She's like, "Okay, I'm not holding on. If you know, let's just have the baby." You know, we win and lose battles in our mind. And that's why we're supposed to keep our mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's not about the physical. It's about our spirit being healthy, our spirit being nourished by the word of God, and our spirit teaching our mind what is the truth, and our mind convincing our heart, the emotional part of us, that we're going to do this. So run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, you notice there, verse 1 of this passage, Hebrews 12, wherefore. And you remember, if you see a wherefore, you want to know what it's there for, right? So we go back. We go back into the previous chapter. You remember that the divisions themselves are not inspired by God. The verses, the chapters, where they start, they be the end. And so you can't ever just look at a chapter as being just one little spot. You need to look at the context before, after it, to see what was being told there. So when he says here, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We go into the previous chapter, chapter 11. What's chapter 11? That's the faith chapter, isn't it? It speaks about the great men and women who stepped out in faith, did great things for God. We learn about, in this chapter, we learn about some of the afflictions. Not all, but some of the afflictions that they went through. In verse 32 of that chapter, we read about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets. These are some that risked their lives for the Lord. So when we think about the context of Hebrews 12:1, to run with patience the race that is set before us, we ask ourselves the question, what is patience in that context? Again, it's to do with endurance. It's interesting to note that the Greek word for patience shares a common root word with the Greek word that underlies endurance. Even in this text here, in Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That speaks of patience. He endured it. So he gave us the perfect example of living a life of patience, those 33 years, the meal offering, if you will, if you think back to the offerings, the pure life. And then, of course, his mock trial, his rejection, and the rejection that occurred throughout his life, but then particularly at his betrayal and later his mock trials and crucifixion. Spurgeon says about this here, "The scripture does not say, 'Let us run with trembling the race that is set before us, looking to our own tottering legs.' No, but it says, 'Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. What if the crag be steep and the precipice be grim? What is that to thee? Spurgeon continues. You will never fall while your faith is fixed on your God. Of course, you think about Peter. When did he fall? When he looked down. The mind, right? His heart and his emotional side was like, ah! And he allowed himself to be conquered. But if we have our faith fixed on God, not on circumstances, we won't fall. What if the jaws of death be open wide and its teeth be sharp as knives? What is this to you? Because Christ lives, ye shall live also. What if the fires of hell be hot and the flames of Tophet vehement? What is that to you? There is no damnation to him that is in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Up, man, look up. As the poor sea boy, climbing the giddy mast, dares not look down upon the awful deep, but upward to the calm blue sky, where shines the bright unclouded sun, so must you look up to the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, or if it be dark with you, up to yon star of Bethlehem, who shines still calmly, lovingly above your head. He bids you silently look unto him and stand securely. Look up, poor little faith, and thou much afraid, for thou shalt ascend into the hill of the Lord. Two characters from Pilgrim's Progress, as you probably know. So, endurance speaks of continuance. Enduring, continuing. That's the characteristic of being faithful during good times, bad times, difficult times, not so difficult times. And we don't have to spell it out what these difficult times might be, because everyone, you go through different stages of life. It might be a really difficult medical, physical problem. It might be a financial problem. It might be a spiritual problem of a loved one, and you've done all you can to help them. And all you can do now is pray. Love them, encourage them, but pray. The different problems are so varied. But the one common thing is that we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to look up, not look down, not look at the waves. You know, with the Christian life, it's not supposed to be a roller coaster ride, is it? It's supposed to be enjoyable, exciting, but that's where we differ with one of the many places we would differ with those that are more of the charismatic background persuasion, is that they're looking for wild extremes, and they're looking for experiences. It's very experientially based. Whereas we don't want it to be experientially based. We want it to be based on the Word of God. And yes, there's emotion. It's okay to have our heart affected by God's Word. But not just to be affected by loud music and people singing and dancing around us. We don't want the roller coaster ride. It's not helpful. Person goes down they go down, and then they're thinking they're a failure. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:14, he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark. You've seen runners when they're getting ready to go, and they're not just standing still like this. They're in that pose. They're pressing forward. You've seen them when you got two side by side, and they're running close to the finish line, and they're going like this, trying to get across that line. That word press also means to flee, means to also to pursue. So if you think about it from the perspective of flee, well, we flee from sin. We flee from the power of Satan. we're not running scared from him. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But we don't want to let him have any real estate in our heart. If you've never listened to the audio or read the book, Holy War, by John Bunyan, I encourage you to do it. It's a long story. I'll just tell you that right now. But if you want to get the audio book, you know, you listen to a little bit when you're in your car or whatever. He talks about the city of Mansoul. And, you know, there's the ear gate, the eye gate, you know, these different senses. And the inhabitants of Mansoul end up letting Diabolus come into their city. And he built up a tower, and it blocked the light of the sun. And of course, you get the symbolism that they were allowing, not that they were being possessed by Satan, but they were allowing Satan to come into their life and have a toehold. And eventually, he's building himself a fortress in their life. So then they have to be rid. They have to get rid of the Diabolonians. It's a good story. Very, very apt. So as we flee sin and the power of Satan, we are pursuing the person of Jesus Christ as he's laid out for us in Scripture. We catch glimpses of him through God's word running ahead of us. Again, quoting Spurgeon, "Brothers, we must run, for our life is to be a race. It must be hard running too. Let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If we really are on the right side, right way, let us press forward with all our powers, and may God help us that we may win the prize. Answer this first question, and know of a surety whose you are, and where you are, and whither you are going." We are to flee the evil of this world, the flesh, the devil, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, to pursue after Christ. It's not something to do when you just want to. Have you ever? I was given a Greek course, a course on learning Greek by my father-in-law. Might have been Christmas. And it was one of those things where I just picked it up again a couple days ago. I said, I should really start this. And the Christian life is not something you just pick up and put down when you have time. The Christian life is a day-by-day thing. And so when we think about patience, endurance, consistently following the Lord, it's to be done with great energy and passion. Too often it's where we're too relaxed. We do not run with great energy. We run with very little passion. Too often we have not been getting into God's word. We've not been fed by God's word. And so therefore, we are running on our own steam, and we're finding the Christian life monotonous. But if we get into God's word and drink it up, it'll never be monotonous. So what are some of the things that we need to endure? Well, we need to have endurance in the face of danger. Now, in our country here, where we don't face a great deal of danger, I mean, you never know, right? You witness to somebody, you never know how they might react. But traditionally, we've been pretty safe. Some of these countries, though, talking about their Hans today, and he's heading off to do some more work there in Lahore, and that can be dangerous. So endurance in the face of danger. You think about these Christians in these countries that live day in, day out. Their neighbors, they know them, you know. And they're they're enduring in the face of danger. Think about enduring in the actual face of actual suffering, not just danger, but actual suffering. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. What an example we have of the Apostle Paul, who endured so many things. In this chapter, we see he endured some danger, but he also endured much actual suffering. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. We're kind of jumping into a passage here. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measures, in measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I have suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings oft, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities." Look at all those things. He had external suffering and he had internal suffering, didn't he? He talks about all these, you know, being beaten with rods, being stoned. Some believe that he was actually stoned to death at that point, and that God brought him back. "Thrice I have suffered shipwreck." Wouldn't once be enough? I mean, I've never suffered shipwreck. And when I say once, I'm not questioning God. I'm just saying 3 times he's been shipwrecked. You know, that's amazing. To be cast upon on the one time Melita there, and the other 2 times we're not told what exactly happened, but to go through all that. So he's got these external things, but then he's got some internal, where you read about the in perils in verse 26 among false brethren. Still a little bit external, but at the same time, sometimes, you know, a person will have developed a relationship with someone that they believed to be a true brother or sister in Christ, and you know, I would imagine that this is speaking of someone that was infiltrating the church, the early church there for evil purposes. Sometimes it's not. I've seen people that have made professions, loose professions of salvations, and they've been in a church, and over a course of years, you've come to realize, as have others, that from what it seems, that person never did truly trust Christ. And so often, as the scripture says, by their fruits you shall know them, their life goes bust. I've got some cases in my mind from like 30 years ago that I'm thinking of, And some of these cases, they weren't trying to infiltrate, but they just sort of rolled in, as it were, and they were not truly born again. Well, you develop relationships with those people, and when they leave or when they stab you in the back, it hurts. It's painful. And then he also talks about when he burns, verse 29, "Who is offended and I burn not?" He hurts. So there's inward and outward. So endurance in actual suffering. Next category, endurance in well-doing. We're told to at least twice the exact words, not to be weary in well-doing, in Galatians and also in one of the Thessalonian books, to not be weary in well-doing. And we'll look at the Galatians reference here in a moment. But think about, what does it mean to be in endurance and well-doing? Well, enduring sound preaching. We know that in the latter days, that people want to have their ears tickled, as the word says. And they will not endure sound teaching and preaching. Enduring the straight and narrow way. You remember, Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 7 about the straight and narrow way. And you're, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, straight. It's a straight road. You look at that word, and it also means restricted, enclosed, narrow. And the Christian road is narrower. And for some, they will find it uncomfortable. Some will find it very uncomfortable. But the believer looks at it and goes, oh, the rules that God gives us, they're for my protection. Enduring the very standards God gives us to live by. Enduring mocking and reproach. Sometimes it can wear upon a person. When you witness to people, you witness to coworkers or others, and you're constantly sort of derided, and they make fun of you, and they might call you a name like Mr. Goody Two Shoes or whatever the case might be. My experience has been fairly decently, fairly good. Where someone might swear or something, then they, oh, I'm sorry, Greg, I'm really sorry. And I mean, some of that might be because they know I'm a minister or pastor, but I've had that for years, well before, and so it's actually not been something to endure. There are times when we do have to endure mocking and reproach. And that's something you'll get when you're in visitation. And you got to be able to go, you know what? And you know, I'm at the place that when somebody really rejects God, I don't take it personally anymore. I'm more sad for them. I'm like, oh, you just put another nail in that coffin. And you hope and pray that they're going to turn from that. The theme verse that we've had for the year has been Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're to endure in well-doing. We're supposed to run and not faint. I like Jeremiah 12, verse 5. If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land, and if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? We need to endure in well doing, starting with the good days, and when the evil days hit us, when the difficult times hit us, that we can keep going, and that we're not going to flag. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Read verses 7 through 9. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So we have to, remember, add patience to that foundation of faith, so that we don't get weary in well-doing. And as the previous verses tell us, if we sow in the Spirit, we'll reap in the Spirit. So let's sow in the spirit. Let's not sow in the flesh. There's the area of enduring people. Sometimes we might find ourselves rubbing a little wrong. We've got maybe a little personality clash or conflict, different kind of, maybe someone's a little bit more too much like us. You know how that works, right? Someone's like ourselves, and maybe sometimes that might lend itself to there being a conflict. Well, we're told that the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I believe long-suffering is part of this whole endurance, patience. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to follow patience. In 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So to follow after it. As far as how we get patience, of course, it's from God. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and suffering, or long-suffering, with joyfulness. So we get it from the Lord. But again, like everything else, it doesn't come by osmosis. We have to endure afflictions. We have to want it. We get it from God's word. Romans 15, verses 4 and 5. And whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. That was Romans 15, 4 and 5. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You think of that familiar passage in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So we get endurance, patience, through trials and tribulations. But it must be noted that we have to actually profit from those. If we throw up our hands and say, I give up, why is God doing this to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? We've blown that. We've failed that trial. We're supposed to pass the trial, move on to the next level, where God will give us something that's going to test us even more. And we're going to experience more grace that next trial, and it's going to build our faith. Each level builds our faith more and more, and we're like, oh, I know what's happening here. The Lord's testing me. He's trying me. Wonder where the source of the grace is going to come from this time. How is God going to answer this problem? So that passage there, Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope doth not make ashamed, because the love of God hath been poured forth in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that hath been given unto us. And then just one last verse on it. James chapter 1, 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. That's our part. Let patience have her perfect work. If we get angry, if we give up, we say, Lord, stop the trial. We're not letting patience have her perfect work. We're not profiting by it. So let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So as we look at our chapter there, back in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, besides those giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. The fourth layer that is supposed to sit on top of faith. Okay, well, we'll close with these thoughts, and next week, Lord willing, we'll look at adding godliness to the foundation of faith. To my Father, we come before you, and we thank you that we're not in this alone, that you have said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we pray that when trials of life do come, that you would stand by us, that you would give us the strength. Help us to see from whence our help cometh. Lord, help us not to be wearied, running with a footman. Help us not to be wearied when running with the horseman, or in the swelling of Jordan. But Lord, that we would wait upon the Lord, and that you would renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. Help us to endure. We ask that you'd be with us as we go to prayer now, that you would speak to our hearts and remind us of requests we need to bring before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.